Rob Parr, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
You have taken the land which is rightfully ours. Years from now, my people will be forced to live in mobile homes on reservations. Your people will wear cardigans and drink highballs. We will sell our bracelets by the roadsides. You will play golf and enjoy hot hors d'oeuvres. My people will have pain and degradation. Your people will have stick shifts. The gods of my tribe have spoken. They have said, do not trust the pilgrims. Especially Sarah Miller.
Gary, she's changing the words.
And for all these reasons, I've decided to scalp you and burn your village to the ground.
This is a Homemade Broadcast radio production.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle free count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2,
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the Homemade Broadcast, episode 503, not live stream. We are not live streaming this week because of, holiday season, I don't know. Anna Hummel's here. What's up?
Scheduling issues.
Yeah, I had a certain word that I don't know what's going on with my brain lately, but it's even worse than it used to be. And when I need to think of a word to use, it's just not there. I know what it means.
I know
the definition, but it's just not on the tip of my tongue, which is scheduling conflicts, I think, is what I was looking for. Welcome. Happy Thanksgiving. This will be released tomorrow. We're recording a day early because of the holiday. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. Anna, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? You're going to Johnny B's.
I'm going to Johnny B's, baby. Very excited about it. I've been tasked with bringing the sangria.
Okay.
So hopefully I can chop fruit and dump it into a bowl and pour wine on it correctly. But yeah. I've been known to mess things up that are very simple. So hopefully everything will go smoothly. And I'm very excited. It is it's the only tradition I have, which is pretty sad.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people they're like, I do this on Christmas, this on Mother's Day, I do this on Halloween. I have zero traditions. This is my only one. And I take it very seriously.
Yeah.
I love Thanksgiving at the Bells.
I was going to add, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be there this year. I'm starting my own traditions, apparently. I was going to ask you, if you were making anything. I went to the grocery store today. I'm glad I went today and not tomorrow, because I've been tasked with the duty of making stuffing, which I think is pretty easy from the recipes that I've, unearthed. I'm not going to lie. I'm not making my own croutons or anything like that. Like, I bought store-bought croutons. I got the meat. I got the veggies, the onion and celery. And it seems like a pretty easy process. So, sort of looking forward to it. But also, I just hope I don't ruin it, because it's one of those things. You don't want to have a bad side at Thanksgiving. You know, if it's a normal dinner, you feel bad enough. But when everybody's counting on you for a big item, too, like this is a, turkey and stuffing. Like, it's usually turkey number one, stuffing number two. Like, it's kind of up there as far as the importance. So I'm a little nervous.
Yes.
I'm not going to lie.
You're making that and then driving it like 4 or 5 hours north.
Yeah, I got so much stuff that I've been tasked with taking up. I love my lady and everything, but she is a pain in the tuchus, man. There's so much little stuff to take up that I'm in charge of now. So, but hey, I'll do it. It's going to be fun. Yeah, I'm going to have to bring a whole dish and then just an assortment of other things. She bought like the stupid...
You got like in a cooler? I'm like really worried about this, just free balling for 4 hours.
Well, I'll put it in I have a thermal bag. So I think I'll put it in a thermal bag, put some ice in there and a few bags of ice and put it in a thermal bag. I got the green beans. Apparently there's no green beans left on Amelia Island up near Jacksonville. There's just no fresh green beans on that island. So I've been tasked with those. I got this stupid little turkey that's made out of butter that she just had to have. because it's adorable, and it is adorable, but is it worth it? Is it worth taking butter all the way up, you know, 5 hours to just for the look? Maybe it is. I don't know. So I've been tasked with that. What else am I taking? The accoutrements, the snacks, the sliced meats and cheeses.
Are you taking your parents?
I am taking, yes, some of them are going to go this time, which is weird. And my dad's going to meet her dad for the first time.
But you're going up with your dad. Like, your dad is driving
that
or
morning.
You're driving.
Yeah. Yeah. So that should be interesting. You know, it's a coming together of the families. I got to get everybody. I was thinking about that. Like, if this, and I think it will, you know, I have no reason to think otherwise, but if my relationship continues down the line and progresses as relationships do, like, I'm a product of divorce. So how am I going to get everybody in the same room? My parents split when I was 2 years old and don't really speak to each. Actually, they do not speak to each other at all. I think it would be cool. Like, they'd all be cool with each other, I think. But there is a, like, how would you get the awkwardness of that when that day comes, if that day comes? How am I supposed to get everybody in one room to celebrate a holiday? You know what I mean?
A holiday? I mean, you don't really do holidays as a split family. I mean, I guess some people do. You have to just worry about, like, the wedding or, like, yeah, a child's birthday party or graduation. But as far as holidays go, you can easily split those up. You know, we're doing Thanksgiving with you, Christmas with you. You know, there's no reason to make everyone uncomfortable. You know, for what? To say you were together and hated every minute of it, you know?
Well, I don't think there would be much animosity, though. It might be awkward, but I just feel like I'm not traveling all over the place. Like, I've already got this down. Hopefully I'll have the central location and everybody's welcome to join, you know, around me. I'm the center of this universe, okay? And everybody can kind of come around the table here. I don't want to have to travel around to different houses and visitations and all that. But I don't know. Like, would you worry? I don't know if you're concerned about that or even thought about it, but I know that you're a product of divorce, too. And I also know your parents aren't bananas about each other.
Yeah, no, there's no need to, even if there's no animosity, like, I don't think anyone would throw a punch. It's like, no one's comfortable. Who's comfortable with their new partner? Like, for what? For me? Like, am I that selfish that I have to force everyone into a room together and no one is having fun, including myself, because I'm so worried about how everybody else is doing? It's like, what are we doing? So, no, I split my time, you know, separate but equal. I know that maybe doesn't sit well with most, but it's that's what you have to do.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not opposed to that necessarily. I just feel like it's just so much easier, like, out of laziness. Like, yeah, suffer a little bit. Suffer for a few hours, come eat, and then food will be provided. I guess the invitation's there, so I won't feel guilty about excluding anybody, but anyone is free to not show up. You know, like, if you can just say, no, I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. Okay, fair enough. Just so you know, though, I'm not, like, this is it. This is the holiday. So if you don't show up to this, you know, I'm fine with that. But just know that this is it. We're not going to do separate trips or different days or anything like that. It's a one and done. It's too stressful to do. Like, time's moving. We talked about it last week. Time's moving too fast as it is. So I don't have time to, you know, continually just revamping these holidays and doing them over and over and over again at different houses. That was fun when you were a little kid. And you had the holiday because you got, like, many different Christmases. You had two Christmases, at least I did, one with mom, one with dad. And you got just a whole day of presents, which is, that's where being a product of divorce was actually really cool, because you got a lot of stuff.
Wouldn't know. Was Jewish and they didn't get divorced until I was 24. So I really got the short end of the stick there.
You really did. At least you got a normal upbringing, though, as far as having two parents in the home. That's nice.
I did. Yeah, I think that was everything else. You know, I missed out on Christmas every year of my life, pretty much, until about 2 years ago, when I decided that I am claiming Christmas for me. It's mine and I love it. Hanukkah sucks, which feels weird to say because anti-Semitism is already on the rise, not trying to add fuel to the fire, but it's just not a great holiday. Christmas, on the other hand, is awesome. Christmas is a culture. It's not even a holiday anymore. It's a culture. Like, people's, like, shape shift during this time into usually better, more generous people. They become their best selves during this time of year. So I'm a big fan of Christmas. If Christmas made, you know, my boss nicer to me, then I love Christmas and I love Jesus, who is my Lord and Savior.
I always thought, because you grew up in California, I always thought that California Jews did Christmas, no?
Well, not my family. I asked my dad if we could have like a Christmas tree, or I think I said, can we have a Hanukkah bush? And I'm pretty sure my dad gave me the middle finger, so... That didn't go over well. Yeah, my dad had no interest in, you know, and I get it. Like, they're like, that's not for you. But in my mind now, Christmas is like an American holiday, even though I know it's a Christian holiday. But the way that we do it in America, it's an American holiday like Thanksgiving. That's how I look at it. Not so much. No, barely anyone I know is actually religious and like cares about Jesus. It's about the presents. It's about the holiday parties. It's about getting wasted on whatever. Maybe, I don't know, maybe magic mushrooms. I don't know. Going to holiday parties, having a good time, gaining weight, worrying about gaining weight, eating food, worrying about the food you're eating, limited gym hours. Nothing really puts me in the holiday spirit like limited hours at the gym. Like on Thanksgiving, the gym's only open for 4 hours, and that gets me so excited. I'm like, woo, it's the holidays. So
does that mean you go during that 4 hours, or do you take that day off?
Oh yeah,
you go.
It is a vibe because everybody is like working extra hard because they're going to gorge themselves in a few hours thereafter. And it's just like, look at us. We think we're elite. The people that go to the gym on limited holiday hour shifts, we are better than you. We are better than you. We know that we only have a 4 hour window, maybe 5 or 6 hours if you're lucky, to it in, and we do, and we're so proud of ourselves because most people are lazy bums and they started eating the moment they wake up, but not us. We're at the gym getting it in, even on Thanksgiving, you know, that sort of stuff. So it's just kind of a different breed of human that makes themselves go on, like, you know, Christmas Eve and Thanksgiving and stuff like that. So it feels good, better than everyone else, you know.
You ever done the turkey trot? You ever done that, the race?
I don't do early morning races unless I'm pressured into them. I am doing one in December, oddly enough. I'm regretting signing up now, but it is free. But no, I don't do the turkey trot. That doesn't sound fun. Like, wake up early as hell, go run a race, come back, and then prepare a giant meal. Like, I have girlfriends that do that. Like, they go run a race and then come home and then cook all day and then have a meal at 5 p.m. It's like, no.
Yeah. Yeah. That's something else. I've done, you know, a race before, but I don't know if I'd want to do it on a holiday necessarily. That just seems like it would be too much of a good thing or a bad thing. Maybe.
I just feel like, you know, you look forward to that day because you don't have to get up early.
Yeah.
You know, usually. So it just seems like, it would ruin my day to do that. So, but I will be going to the gym between the hours of 8 and 12 noon. So
all for all 4 hours, you're going for the whole thing. You'll be working out all day.
No. I'll probably get there at 10, leave at 11:30 or something like that.
Okay. What do you do? Just lift? Are you doing cardio too? Or what's the deal?
Usually when I go to the gym, I do both. Because I don't lift so much as I used to, cause I'm in jiu-jitsu all the time. A little goes a long way. So I'll usually lift maybe for like 30 minutes and then like 5 minutes of cardio and then call it a day. So,
Okay.
In that order too. I never do cardio first.
You brought up Thanksgiving in America. There was some sort of like did you say it was the Great American Holiday, or am I expounding a little bit on that?
I said Christmas was like, I think of it as an American holiday, but yes, Thanksgiving for sure.
Well, yes. Guess what? You're not going to believe it. The Nation, a few days ago, asked, should America keep celebrating Thanksgiving?
I don't care what America does. I'm still doing it.
Sean Sherman argues that we need to decolonize Thanksgiving, while Chase Iron Eyes calls for replacing Thanksgiving with a truths giving, which I'm sure it means exactly what you think it means, a big struggle session on Thanksgiving. So this guy says here,
is this the sort of stuff that makes people want to commit hate crimes?
It's so dumb.
You leave Thanksgiving alone. You leave it alone.
So this guy says, I am the proud member. Should I do the I feel like I probably shouldn't do the voice. How? I am a proud member of the Lakota Nation. Yes, I won't do it. But he says, I'm born on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota. My early memories of Thanksgiving are akin to most Americans. Meat and potatoes, dishes inspired by Eurocentric 1960s era cookbooks. For many Americans, this image of Thanksgiving is one of supposed unity, the gathering of pilgrims and Indians in a harmonious feast. But this version obscures the harsh truth, once steeped in colonialism, violence, and misrepresentation. By exploring the indigenous perspective on Thanksgiving, we can not only discern some of the nuances of decolonization, but gain a deeper understanding of American history. This is something I always find interesting. The Native American perspective, the Black perspective, the whatever, whatever, that's not a thing. Nobody feels one way because they are a certain race, right? I mean, that's stupid, number one, right off the bat.
It's stupid, yes, but also they claim that, I don't know what these people claim, that they're mourning the grievances of their ancestors. I don't know. I didn't know that, you know, being given dirty blankets 200 years ago was somehow, you know, interfering with your genetics. But maybe what are they, like, hardship is passed down. I don't know. You're right. It doesn't make any sense. And yes, it is stupid. And yes, we should keep celebrating Thanksgiving because it's the only tradition I have, and I will not be giving it up. And Americans are fat as hell, and they love holidays where they can just gorge themselves without any guilt. So it's staying.
That's what it is.
It's staying.
Even if this guy was right, which I don't think that he is, Chief Ironclaw here. I think it's a really, it's funny because I actually just finished an audiobook. I didn't read it. I hate reading, but I do audiobooks pretty often. And I just read the autobiography of Black Hawk, which is, I said Black Hawk, a hawk that is black. And he was a tribe of the Sauk Indians, Sauk Indians, natives, sorry. Up in
Is it S-I-O-U-X?
No, it's a different one. The foxes and the Sauk or Sauk or anyway. So
that's a swear. Okay.
His perspective on it was interesting because obviously he documented, this was from his own words. He had an interpreter. He put down his thoughts and feelings on what happened, and he had a lot of bad stuff happen to him. But he also, it was a complex thing because he actually really liked a lot of the army generals. He had personal relationships with them. Yes, they got screwed over on, you know, land deals, and he says that's messed up, and they put up fights against it. And in the end, they kind of lost their battle, and they left without, too much violence, actually, believe it or not, at least in his case. And he goes, yeah, you know, what happened in the past, I'm paraphrasing here, obviously, was messed up, and I won't forget it. But you know what? We're a nation now, and we need to move on together as one people. And I was like, that's interesting, because of all the bad stuff that happened to him, I'm sure, he still was just like, you know what? Let's just let bygones be by. Let's bury the hatchet, if you will.
Who was this person? He was a chief of a tribe, you said?
Yes. He was a chief of the Fox and the Sauk Indians. I keep getting that wrong. Okay. I'm going to stop saying it because I know I'm getting it wrong. But you can look it up. Chief Black Hawk. I said Black Hawk, like the bird. Okay? So it was fascinating. So I don't... There isn't just one perspective here. Like, I feel like this wasn't that long ago, and obviously we have written words from these people. It's hard to say, like, let's move on. But you know what? Let's move. Please. Come on. We can't go back and right these wrongs. We can only move forward. And talking about, like, this guy says, we don't need to give up. We don't need to end Thanksgiving, but we need to decolonize it. That doesn't mean anything. That's dumb.
And I don't know nothing. What that means either.
Let's see.
It
let's...
just sounds like it's good HR, but it's not. It's just words.
Challenging
like,
the
what
colonial.
Is, what does it mean? Like, right before we eat, we're like, by the way, you know, the white people massacred the Indians right after they had this amazing feast. Anyways, amen. Enjoy. Like, well, what does he want?
He says,
what's
here
the end game?
That it means centering the indigenous perspective and challenging the colonial narratives around the holiday. So basically, he's pissed that there's a Eurocentric centering on it. So instead of that, let's center the native perspective on it, which, again, I don't know what that means. There is no shared perspective on this stuff. There is history that is written down in many cases, and we can know it. But it's not, like, are we supposed to spend the day? Is everything a somber event? Like, these holidays, a lot of them are based on pagan holidays. Halloween, you know, Christmas, centered around the same time to kind of... just let's have a nice day, please. The world is terrible. Let's just gorge ourselves, eat, enjoy. Just everything have to be a day where we're in mourning and we have to self-flagellate because of, you know, yeah, things that happened hundreds of years ago that we weren't around for. I mean, this is no way to move forward. The war's over. Yeah, people got screwed over. That's history, not even American history. Look at other histories around the country. People were slaughtering each other, enslaving each other. It's enough. Like, we got to move forward here. We can't be going back. And, like, sorry, dude, like, your tribe lost. It was a hard-fought fight for hundreds and hundreds of years. But it's over now, and we're going to eat turkey together now. My brother. I don't understand the whole thing. The indigenous contributions, including turkey, corn, beans, pumpkins, cranberries, sweet potatoes, and wild rice, are central to the Thanksgiving menu. By embracing these foods and supporting Native American producers and practices, we can ground the celebration in a genuine appreciation of the land. Okay, that's fine.
I don't want to start eating bison or something. Well, you know, we want to eat bison for Thanksgiving.
Well, he's claiming that turkey is... you know, American, which is probably true. It was on the American continent. I don't know if you could take credit for an animal necessarily for being in the same country, land that you happen to live in. This is an opportunity for a broader movement to decenter colonial perspectives around the world. Blah, 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 blah. Colonial diet, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's just stuff that's R-worded. I don't know how else to say it. Like, it's not necessarily wrong. It's just like, boy, what a can of worms you're opening here, dissecting all this stuff. Like, it's just, it's useless. Thanksgiving. Oh, this Thanksgiving, let's break the bonds of colonization and capitalism. As it all comes back to that, not just in our plates, but our perspectives, too. I want a Thanksgiving where I can be thankful. I live in a world where diversity is celebrated. Dude, it is. It is celebrated a lot. And where every person's connection to their food, land, and history is respected and cherished. What does that mean? It's just where you live, man. I don't understand any of this. I'd like to be thankful for a more inclusive world, but more accurate accounting of the past. Dude, it's written down. Black Hawk talked about it. Go read his book. I guarantee you this guy has not read that account. He just has
no
this
one's
modern...
denying the history. It's just, you know, just because we don't eat, sleep, and breathe every day doesn't mean that people don't know. And like you said, it's like people want to turn every joyous occasion left into something that is somber and in memoriam and blah, blah, blah. It's like you said, dude, we're mourning all the time with the horrible things that are going on globally. So any sort of kind of reprieve we have from that, we're going to take it. And no, we don't want your truths giving. That sounds G word as hell, okay, to be honest with you. That sounds super G and super R. That's how I feel about it.
It's so, like, you're talking about, so I'm listening, trying to scan this article a little bit. Like, they're talking about, like, honoring the treaties that were not on. How do you do that now? Like, how on earth, there's a civilization, not even, like, settlers here now. There's a civilization, the greatest one that has ever been in existence as far as, well, that's debatable, but a very advanced one that has a lot of infrastructure here. It doesn't, how do you do it? How do you honor these? Is everybody supposed to just pick up and go, you know, that's west of the Mississippi? Like, it's R worded.
No, and they go, well, we can't do that. So they go, okay, well, we'll take reparations, please.
I thought.
Oh, okay.
Frankly, I thought that a lot of Native tribes had reparations in casinos. No.
That's what I thought.
I mean,
listen, you don't really hear the big, you know, the Seminole tribe who's making money off the Hard Rock. They don't seem to be complaining too much.
No, they're not. Man, they took about a grand from me this past week.
You lost a grand?
Well, between dinner and gambling, yeah. $500 for dinner, and which I didn't pay for. God bless my lady friend. I mean, it was four people that went, so we're talking $700 with tip, four people, and then I lost about.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What was this for?
It's just a birthday surprise dinner.
For you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh.
I wanted.
And she paid.
Yeah, I wanted to go get a nice steak, so I heard, you know, through the grapevine that a place for a good steak was the steakhouse at the Hard Rock. So I go, okay. So I made reservations there.
Council Oak?
Council Oak, yeah. And it was a fine steak. You know, it was tasty. But you know what? Frankly, I can make a better steak at home. Sorry. But
oh, my God. So your girl dropped $700?
Yeah. I think she got reimbursed for half because we went with another couple. So I think she got reimbursed.
Oh, my God.
And I also had some cash that I've been putting away in my piggy bank. And I actually won some on the cruise that I went on a few weeks ago. So I had a little bit of money and I just spent it all on the blackjack table at the Hard Rock and lost it all. So, yeah, they got a lot of money out of me. And that's my fault. That's my fault, not their fault. And I hope they enjoy it. They need it. But
they sure do.
They're only worth, I think, like $30 billion or something like that. So they need a little more.
Not 31. So
we looked it up.
They need you.
Didn't we look that up semi-recently? The Seminole tribe?
Yeah, we talked about if given the opportunity, do you think that they would have undone the injustices of the past but lost all their money? And I think you and I came to the conclusion that they would happily have lost, you know, great-great-grandpa Blackhawk and taken that cool $30 billion for themselves. So I think it all worked out for them, at least.
Yeah, $12 billion. Sorry, that's all they're worth.
Yeah,
that's the thing. And they're like, they're part of the American tradition. Oh boy, they are full tilt into the, like, yeah, they're not giving that back, and I don't blame them. They shouldn't give it back.
I mean, that's really the American dream. It's not coming to this country and working hard. It's being here, being screwed over, yeah. And then your ancestors from hundreds of years, or your descendants of hundreds of years later, reaping all the benefits of their ancestors grieving and slavery and be given free money, generational wealth. I think that's the true American dream, is you got to have family members that were a repressed an enslaved minority, that, and then somehow you make it through, you know, thankfully there's the Enlightenment or there's a civil rights movement or something, and then you're just chilling and you're like, you better hire me, I'm a black non-binary woman thing, so you better hire me, otherwise you're racist and you hate Chinese people, and you're like, oh damn, I don't want that to be me, and then you hire them. So, you know, that's really the American dream, I think.
Yeah, it sure is. It's paying off for a lot of folks out there, and God bless. I mean, you're right. That is the new American dream. I just, you know, the idea of, well, these settlers in the 1800s and late 1700s bought stolen land. You go, yeah, it's not really stolen. They went to war for it. Maybe duped them in treaties. Yeah, that's probably true to some degree. But usually what happens is they go, hey, you duped us in a treaty. And they go, yeah, we did. And then they go, and shoot you for that. And then you fight a war. That's how things get settled when those things happen. Yeah. And that happened. Yeah. And then there was an outcome. Like, there was a winner after hundreds of years of those wars. It's over. You're bringing up stuff that's been long gone. Not saying it wasn't messed up. I think it was. But at the same time, like, what do you want to do? Unless you got a time machine, I don't want to hear it. I mean, it's just like, it's useless babble to fight over these silly things that you can't do anything about. in the long run. And to just say that we need to eat rice on Thanksgiving now and give back land like west of the Mississippi, like that's, it's not going to happen. So why is this in the nation?
You know, Will, I agree with you. I can read between the lines. And I think what you're trying to say is that all Native Americans are losers. And I have to co-sign on that. They are just a bunch of losers, dude. Lost, hang, died, can't handle your alcohol. Like, yeah.
Listen.
Diabetes more than the rest. I agree, Will. You're right. Native Americans are just a bunch of losers.
I do not co-sign on this. I have a lot of admiration and respect.
That was really your. That was an original, Billy Coon's thought right there. So
No. I agree. You're misinterpreting what I'm saying. They lost.
No, I don't think I am. I think you're just like, wow, these people are losers.
No.
They deserve what they get, and we'll be keeping our Thanksgiving, and you can go, to the loser store.
False.
And collect your belongings and all your infested blankets and keep crying, losers.
This is all false. This is Anna Hummel. I do not endorse this sentiment at all. In fact, I have a lot of reverence and respect for Native peoples, not only here in America, but throughout the world. I have respect for everybody, and I think that we have much to learn from them, and we could also learn a lot and teach a lot, and we should move together as one human race. That's what I believe.
Yeah, they're losers, so.
Yeah. It's true. They did lose. It's unfortunate, but.
And what are people that lose? What are they called?
I think that I know what you're getting at. And that's in one segment, not as a whole umbrella term for those folks. It's just in that area of the, European Native Wars in America. I think it's fair to say.
So there's losers when it comes to preserving their culture and way of life. Is that what you're saying?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
But in every other aspect, they're thriving.
No, I didn't say that either.
Casinos,
some are
gold medal.
I mean, gosh, triple diamond. That's 777 on the slot machine there. They're doing really good. Some of these individuals down here. So, and God bless. You know, that's what it's about. Like you said, that's a new American dream, using historic oppression to benefit handedly from the current day. I think that's good, and in that way, they're winners, right?
Mm. No, unfortunately not. But hey, that's okay.
Yeah,
that's okay. What happens is when you lose, sometimes you get absorbed by the winners, and then you become a winner. That can work. That's kind of what the Romans did. Instead of enslaving all the people that they conquered, they made them citizens. And that's why Rome was so successful until it wasn't, obviously.
Yep.
It expanded too much, which is kind of what we're doing now, and had porous borders, but that's neither here nor there. But they made their captives citizens. And that's what we did, because we're good people. We are winners. Winners. Winners.
Do you want to see what Chief... what's his name? Chase Iron Eyes looks like.
Yes.
There he is. Now, does he wear that all the time? Is he like coming out with the paint, or is this just a special photo shoot then?
I feel like that guy is like Puerto Rican. Like, this is not, that guy is definitely from Cuba.
That guy's from Los Angeles.
100%.
And he's Mexican. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, Javier, you're not fooling anyone.
I want to see the other guy, too. I guarantee you that Sean Sherman is... I know exactly the phenotype that I'm going to get here, Anna. Oh, no. I am totally wrong. He's a chef and an author. That's apparently Oglala Lakota Sioux Chief. Or no, not Chief Chef. Sorry. Let me get him up here so you can take a peek. There he is. Looks pretty cool. There he is.
I can't see him.
There you go.
Oh, that's Sean guy?
That's Sean Sherman. I kind of thought it was going to be a situation where he was going to be have a weird beard, kind of look like skinny me with no hat, short hair, and like busted teeth, like the, you know, that phenotype with kind of like not cool glasses, but really dorky glasses.
I'm like, okay. I just feel like you're automatically Native American if you just do the pigtail thing with the braids.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something.
I do that too.
I'm shocked.
You know, I can be Pocahontas. Yeah.
He's taking, you know, his, you know, the white European name there too was Sean. I kind of thought he might do the same thing that Chase Ironclaw did there. Iron Eyes, I mean.
Yeah.
But he's going old school. So should we celebrate Thanksgiving to conclude? You say yes.
Two thumbs up.
Thumbs up. Celebrate Thanksgiving. You know, I think you can give reverence to the past, but you should definitely read some of the past and not just make generalized statements about how people feel when you really have no idea. And I'm not an expert by any means, but I did just read the tale and the life of Chief Black Hawk. I said Black Hawk. That means a bird that is black. I know what you're thinking. I'm not saying black C word, okay? I'm saying Black Hawk. He was a prestigious chief, good man, sounded like, and wanted to move forward together. And I say we should do that too. We should move forward together as brothers and sisters and babies and live in peace and harmony. Have some pumpkin pie, eat some turkey, shut your mouth, shut up, eat it. Enough.
Shut up. I agree.
Thank you, Anna Hummel, for your time. Much appreciated. Check us out on Radio St. Pete, 6 o'clock Sundays, 96.7 FM if you're in downtown St. Pete, or like 30 blocks away, or RadioSt.Pete.com, or even better yet, in my opinion, HMPRadio.com and WillsYouTube.com. You can join us on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. for a live stream. 813-693-2124. Happy Thanksgiving, happy Truceiving, whatever you celebrate out there, let's do it together, baby. For Anna Hummel, my name is Will Koontz. See ya.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSt.Pete.com.